What is up?
How is everybody doing?
I'm doing good.
Well, I was talking to the listeners, but then I realized there's no way they can answer us.
There you go.
Welcome back to the Decent People podcast. I'm delighted to say I'm being a more decent person today.
Not good. I was worried about you.
Not ditching class and all that. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Just tired.
Yep.
The huge.
Just got home from riding your bike home from work.
Oh, I don't know what I'm trying to prove.
I think it's
good.
Did
legs yesterday, though.
I think you're getting lots of cardio, lots of calories burned.
Yeah, but
plenty of room for Bahama Bucks later.
Ooh, that's
there's something
good.
I feel
no
like
free ads.
I knew you were gonna say it. That's literally what
we're
I was
getting,
just
we're
say.
Getting a
take
snow
a
cone.
Shot. Take a shot. KJ said no free ads. Take a shot of snow cone.
There you go. Snow cones.
We don't drink. We should not endorse drinking on an episode about nursing. Aha. Speaking of, what are we talking about today, KJ?
We are talking about nursing.
Whoop, whoop.
Woo.
We are interviewing two emergency room nurses.
We are very excited because
very, very excited.
Me and Ray both want to be nurses.
Yep. Well, I'm already
Ray's
almost there.
Way further along than I am.
Yep. KJ is awaiting his letter to let him know if he got in or did not get into nursing school. So if you could send your T's and P's.
Yep. Thoughts and prayers.
There you go.
T's and P's my way.
I was not previously
much appreciated.
Aware of what T's and P's were. But
that's why I'm here.
Yep. Yeah, so if you could just send some positive vibes over here, literally should have, I mean, he could have heard this week, he could hear later this week, he could hear, what's
next
the cutoff
week.
Next week?
Next Saturday. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday. I think is the cutoff, the lady said, first week in April.
Cue that meme of Michael Scott with his teeth like going like yeah. Yep, they can't see us do that. They
nope.
Just heard our...
That's why we need a video.
Yeah. So just a little like pregame. We are interviewing Ty and Annie. They're siblings, not husband and wife.
They're my aunt and uncle.
Yep. They have years of experience, probably 10 plus years, would you say? Maybe Ty
yeah.
doesn't have 10.
Pretty close.
You think? 9 maybe? He's close.
We'll ask him.
They have lots of experience in nursing. They both worked in the emergency room at one point for probably a good period of time. The emergency room is crazy. It's where all the trauma happens. It's where you see all the blood. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting.
It's where I want to be when we get to that point.
Mm-hmm. KJ wants to do ER/trauma, and I want to do, I don't know. I was really leaning towards...
TBD.
TBD. I was really leaning towards labor and delivery for a while, but now I'm thinking maybe something else. I don't know. We'll see. Definitely not peds. I don't think I could handle... sick and dying children.
Little children, yeah.
Well, especially, like, once you become a parent.
Right.
You know, like, leaving your kids in the morning and then going to the hospital and watching kids die and then coming home.
There you go. But they're probably in good hands if
mm-hmm.
they are nurses. And we'll talk about how
mm-hmm.
nurses are pretty decent people if they
can be. I
think they're
the most decent people. Because, you know, doctors are great, but...
They don't really care. They get paid too much money to care.
Watch, there's a doctor listening, and we just offended them really, really badly.
Yeah, doctors.
Doctors are great. They do really good things for the medical system, but some of them have an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
A tude from the... I can't think of anything that rhymes
so,
with tude.
Prepare yourselves.
Yeah, prepare yourselves. Oh, trigger warning. We probably should have one. There's going to be descriptions of... blood, probably.
Feces, definitely.
Maybe. Just lots of gross things. I have heard some of the stories that might be told tonight, and some of them are pretty emotional.
Some of them are really funny.
Yeah.
Some of them are really gross.
Yeah. But if, honestly, trigger warning, if you can't handle, you know, death or serious bodily harm or bodily fluids, you're not going to be seeing any of it, but you are going to be hearing firsthand, you know, stories about it. So turn this off if you can't, and maybe wait until our next episode, which will be hysterical.
Way lighthearted.
Yeah. And we'll tease that at the end of this episode. But, oh, big news. We are on iTunes finally.
Yes.
Like after an entire day of complaining about how long it was taking, I was driving home and I felt my phone vibrate and I was like, ah, it's here. But,
easy now.
Yeah. We have the link in our Instagram bio, and within the next few hours, you'll be able to actually go on iTunes and search in the search bar for the Decent People podcast, and it'll pull up. But as of right now, while we're recording, it still hasn't been indexed.
I believe you can subscribe and leave a review now.
You totally can. Yeah, so it's on iTunes. It's like fully functional. It doesn't pop up in the search bar yet.
Enter it and all that.
Something called indexing.
Techno mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, techno mumbo jumbo.
So,
yeah.
Please rate, review.
Oh yeah.
And subscribe.
If you could take 30 seconds out of your day to even just give us like a 5 or
just,
4 star.
You don't have to say anything. Don't say anything.
But if you want to say something, we'll drop cookies off on your doorstep if you're local.
Literally,
too.
We're going to get that.
We really are going
to
drop
to be determined. Coming soon.
We make good cookies.
I don't make good cookies.
Happening. Well, you were out of butter.
I still went for it.
I have to tell this story. KJ and I's greatest marriage argument is white chocolate versus milk chocolate. So we'll put a poll out. Why don't we put a poll out on our Instagram and see?
We'll do it. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm white chocolate all the way.
I would rather have dark chocolate over white chocolate, but milk chocolate is definitely better.
You're insane.
Hands down. But I would rather have dark chocolate. So should we just do dark chocolate over white chocolate?
Sure. Because you take dark chocolate.
Because I think milk chocolate's going to win easy.
Okay. I don't think so.
All right.
I see what you mean. Well, maybe we put white chocolate versus the other two types of chocolate.
Okay.
Because I feel like milk and dark are very similar to each other. Dark just has a little bit like, I don't know.
It's less milk.
Yeah.
I think, and then white chocolate has.
That would make sense.
More milk because it's white. Mm. So obviously, white milk.
Anyways, the story. KJ every so often gets this idea to be like a really sweet husband. So I came home the other
every
day.
Every now and then.
And he's like, babe, I went. Did you ride your bike to Walmart?
No. I'm not. Stupid.
You ride your bike all the way to work every day, so what's worse?
But I don't have to carry anything.
Okay,
that's why I have a fanny pack.
Because you're going to put your chocolate chips in your fanny pack?
No, all my other stuff. I'm really excited about this fanny pack, guys.
Yeah, we posted a picture of it on our Instagram story. So he drove to Walmart, got white chocolate chips, didn't realize we didn't have enough butter for the recipe he was using, and made 2 separate batches because he wanted ones with milk chocolate, and he knew I liked white chocolate. So it was really sweet, but there wasn't enough
It didn't
enough
work
butter.
That well.
So they came out kind of looking like...
weird.
Like flaky, almost like oatmeal cookies, but they definitely
I did
were
put
not.
Milk in yours because there what? Wasn't enough butter. Yeah.
Oh, that's why.
I figured because I didn't put milk in mine and they turned out they looked okay.
We should have gotten a picture of them.
I know.
Oh, boy. Anyways, nursing. We're excited for you to meet Ty and Annie. So without further ado, here are Ty and Annie.
Okay, we are here with Annie and Ty, KJ's aunt and uncle. Annie, would you like to...
Not married.
Not married, they're siblings. We had to specify that.
Please do.
Okay, would you like to introduce yourself?
You want me to go first?
Yes.
I'm Annie, I'm KJ's aunt.
You sound like my mom.
Which, like...
If I wasn't, what the heck? If I wasn't here right now.
My kids have often gotten your mom and me confused, so... Yeah, we do look a lot alike, but I'm taller and much younger. Make sure she knows that. Much younger than KJ's mom.
How many kids do you have?
I have 4 kids. I have 3 girls and a boy.
And I've go ahead.
Been a nurse. Are we talking about being a nurse?
That's what I was going to ask.
I've been a nurse for 18 years.
Yowza.
Right? But I'm only 29, so that's cool.
That's cool.
Wait.
That makes sense.
Oh, that didn't register with me as a joke at first. Okay.
No, yeah, I'm older than that.
Ty?
Ty Porter, KJ's uncle.
Allegedly.
We're not sure.
There's no DNA.
And yeah, I have 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls, and I've been a nurse for almost 5 years now.
Nice. We definitely guessed wrong.
Yeah, we went high.
We guessed that you'd been a nurse for almost 10.
Just because you're kind of old to us now.
I've been working at a hospital for almost 10 now. So
right.
So how many years did you think I've been in a hospital
setting?
We said 10 plus.
10 plus.
For both of you.
You're like
but
4 million.
That's way.
Honestly, though, I feel like...
haggard old nurse.
No. KJ, can we pause it really quick?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we're just going to jump right into asking you guys questions because this is going to be a long episode. So going in the vein of our podcast, how do you think being a nurse makes somebody like a decent person, or how do you think like nurses can be so run down that they turn into...
I know lots of nurses that aren't decent people.
Right.
Too many.
Lots of them.
Do you think they all go into it for the
not for the money. So yes.
Yeah.
I think people go into it with all the right reasons. Like, I legitimately want to help people. When I was in nursing school, people would be like, why do you want to be a nurse? And I said, because I want to marry a doctor and I like turd ice. And people would like, people would look at me like, oh, that's not what you're supposed to say. And I'm
Can you explain? I'm kidding.
I want to help people and I want world peace. Turd ice is hospital ice. Like,
yeah, like sonic ice. Tiny turds.
Yeah.
I've never heard it called that
turd
before.
Turd ice. It's great.
Turd ice. Yeah. Sonic ice.
Okay, so, but hospital at least ice. You were honest.
Well, I was kidding.
Okay, but I there really are some hot doctors out there. Yeah. Just put that out there. Right. Ty, what do you think?
I've always kind of just wanted to be a nurse, or my initial was like firefighter. I've just always wanted to be in that kind of helpful role where you get to kind of
public service.
Yeah. just be able to, you know, you get to wear that little hero card a little bit, and it's just it's nice.
Ty's teachers liked him. I just want to help. I want to save cats.
Out of trees.
I want to save old people.
Yeah. So I've always wanted to kind of do one or the other or both, and yeah, it's just kind of a something you always had job security in. You always there's always going to be sick people.
Unfortunately. Mm. Or fortunately, in our case.
Little boys and smokers is job security. I tell people that all the time. I wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for little boys and smokers.
Oh, because little boys get
they jump off
so much.
And, yeah. Okay. I've always been. I've been ER for 16 of my 18 years.
What did you do otherwise? I don't know what else you did.
Oncology when I first got out of school. No, awesome. Oncology nursing is awesome.
It is. I've been on the hemonc floor the last couple weeks at Mayo, and it's awesome, but like I've seen some sad
people. I mean, there was definitely sad cases, but I always used to say that, like, no, my patients are fighting and they're winning.
Oh yeah.
And the day that they decide they're done fighting, they're good with it. Like, so yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. All right. I do.
Good times. A lot of people ask kind of like the same, like, four different stories, so we'll just kind of start with the first one about the scariest story. And you both work the ER, so I'm sure there's some crazy scary stories.
My scariest story was probably I had this guy who was on a lot of the drugs he was taking. I had to look up because I'm like, I've never heard of those.
Yikes.
And he drank a bunch of vodka, and he was a pretty frequent flyer of our ER, but I was wheeling him to his room and like bumped him with his wheelchair, like just, and I didn't think anything of it until I was full on cornered in his room, trying to set up his room and stuff, and he swung at my kneecaps with his with his crutch.
Oh.
And I had to break out the dad voice, as the other nurses used to call it in the ER, and kind of basically talked my way out of there, because it was either I was going to swing on this guy and end my career as a nurse, or I was going to have to intimidate him to where he actually, you know, stopped. And he ended up, he left with in handcuffs, so but it still, I was like, oh, it was fun being a nurse, because.
And he was so mad at you just because of the little bump.
He had all this, you know, liquid courage and stuff that was making him act the way he was. But yeah, he just, that little thing set him off. And,
oh my gosh, did it hurt so bad?
Well, he missed. No, he didn't hit me. No,
I can't even imagine.
He wouldn't be with us if he did.
Ty would have. Anyways.
He turtled
through. Ty would have been a fireman.
Yeah, that would have been a fireman.
So the most scared I have ever been, I was working the county ER in Vegas.
Yikes.
And it's also probably the grossest, which has turned me into a germaphobe. But, so, super true story. We had this lady, she was under arrest. She came in and she was claiming that the cop had beat her up. And she had some abrasions and stuff on her face and stuff and on her. So you could tell that she was taken down at some point. So the doctor goes in to like clear her to go to jail. It's fit for incarceration. And she started claiming that the cop did all sorts of things to her. And anyway, so the doctor came out and said, will you get her in a gown? Because she's got all sorts of allegations and I need to do kind of a head to toe. I was like, sure. So I walked in there and I'm pretty gullible and pretty naive to the world. And I walked in her room with a gown and I was like, okay, take off everything. And this lady, she was a prostitute and she was going to jail for soliciting and stuff. And she Reagan, you look so scared.
I think you've told me this story before.
It's awesome. So she puts her hand completely down her pants and she pulls out a wad of cash and puts it on the bed. And at that moment, at that split moment, for some reason, I thought, she's got a weapon and this is how I die. I'm dying.
Well, yeah.
This prostitute is going to kill me. And I was pretty sure that that was how it was going to happen. So she then goes back down into her woman parts.
Oh.
And she pulls out another handful of cash. Three handfuls of cash. Lays it on the bed. I guess that was her wallet.
That's a
amongst other things to call it.
What a fanny pack.
Do you think it was like legit in there?
Oh, for sure. Because it, yes. For sure. And she said that that's where she had to hide it from her.
Yeah, from her pimp.
Can I say pimp? Yeah, that's where she hid her money. And that's where she hid the money that she didn't give him. So anyways, she was hiding it. And so I called security and I was like, hey, I need you to come claim this because I'm not going to be the one that takes this down. And they came in, I'm all wear gloves, $3,200. And they were like 20s. They weren't hundreds. They were like,
she got it going on that corner that night.
She's doing good.
Well, I think it was like what she pocketed.
Oh, so
no pun intended. So I think that that's what she like kept for herself. I'm all, that's a party trick because I mean that's better than any hibiscus fanny pack.
How uncomfortable that would be, though.
I
$3,200 in 20s.
$3,200. I still can't forget that.
Oh my gosh.
So for the entire time that we lived in Vegas, I never used cash again without washing it. Like the minute I got cash. I wore gloves. People are like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm just not using cash.
Doing that everywhere because money can circulate completely around the country.
And so then I would take cash home and I'd put it in a laundry bag and throw it through my laundry.
Well, yeah, because the material that it's made out of doesn't get ruined.
Yeah. So I just I washed all my money.
That's so funny.
So gross. So
but yeah, you thought she was going to kill you.
But I thought she was going to kill me. But yeah, she did it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's go to our next question, which is
funniest.
Let's go funniest story, if you have one.
I don't have a particular funny story, but it's always funny when just little old ladies say something to you that you're just like, it's like either a hit on you or just something that catches you so off guard. But
they don't hit on me. I'm too old.
Little old men ever hit on you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I used to get, because I was a very young nurse, I was, so I used to get proposed to all the time. It was awesome.
Nice. Not as much anymore, though.
Not as much, no. It's not been good to me time.
They want some of those 20-somethings.
Okay, so Annie kind of already shared her grossest story with the coochie cash. There's the title of this.
There it is. Nailed it.
So, Ty, do you have a gross story?
Yeah, we had a lady that ended up, I guess she was at a different hospital and had to come to ours because they wouldn't let her dog be in the room. And this lady had necrotizing fasciitis on her legs, which is a fancy word for flesh-eating bacteria. And she had completely septic. She was unresponsive. She wouldn't be able to do, she was really sick. Mm. And she was supposed to have her legs amputated like 2 weeks before I got her. Well, this dog came with, and when I walk into the room,
this dog is
licking these wounds. So I'm like, and there's a person in the room that's like passed out asleep in the chair that's supposed to be like the significant other of this person. But so this, I'm like, well, I need to start an IV, and as soon as I like get within 3 feet of this person, this dog like lunges at me and tries to bite me. And I'm like, nope. Mm-mm, no, not happening. And so I walk out, get security. The security's like, your dog has to leave. The guy pulled the it's a service animal card. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, it's gone. Yeah. Like,
it's literally licking your scabs off.
And so we ended up actually having to get the cops involved. And so, I took the guy out. He put me on Facebook Live because I was being racist and not letting him have his dog. And he...
Was this recently?
Like year and a half ago, maybe. Okay. 2 years.
So in like these new political times.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. So yeah, Facebook Live. He was gonna ruin my life, is what he kept telling me. And so the cop came and he goes, let me see this dog's paperwork. And they were outside of the ER at this point, and He puts the dog down to get the paperwork, and the dog takes off. It just runs away. Oh, no.
What kind of dog was it?
Like a little Jack...
Russell?
Russell Terrier, yeah. Just a little yippy. Like, it wouldn't have hurt that he bit me, but the bacteria that would have lose my arm.
Gotten your bloodstream, yeah.
So, yeah, that was probably, like...
Oh, my gosh.
The smell alone, I can't even tell you how bad it is. I was going
to
ask you.
Listeners need to go Google necrotizing fasciitis. It's, we'll put the spelling in the show. I know how to spell it.
Let's see it.
N-E-C-R-I-T-I-Z-I-N-G space F-A-S-C-I-T-I-S.
Sure.
I guess so.
It's right. I promise.
I don't think that's right, but sure.
Or just be like.
You're kidding, right? No, I just spouted that off like I've known it since I was five. Okay.
Or less.
So.
Can you use it in a sentence?
The patient's dog was licking her necrotizing fasciitis. Don't swim in rivers in Peru or you'll get necrotizing fasciitis.
Or
you'll get a penis fish. Have you seen the episode of Grey's Anatomy?
Yes. Where
am I allowed to say penis?
I don't know.
You said it twice, so.
Yeah. Well,
this is a medical show.
Exactly.
It's like coochie cash.
Coochie cash.
So.
Make sure we write. I'm ready. Make sure you write.
Oh, I'm not forgetting that.
No, I'll keep. I forget a lot, but I got that one.
Oh, geez.
Okay, so grossest still today was I was like a brand new ER nurse.
Oh, no.
And I was, you know how we have long waits in Arizona in the winter because we have a fluctuation of new patients. Anyway.
Snowbirds.
We've already ranted about snowbirds.
I know.
You're safe.
I love it. So, Tuesday night, went to work. Had a patient. She came in. She was a large, large woman. Mm-hmm. And she was complaining of chest pain. Great. We get her back. We work her up. She gets the $1 million chest pain workup. She's fine. But because our waits were so long, we had patient advocates that would go around and give sandwiches and juice. And on Friday night, so Tuesday night to Friday night. And I remember nothing. So this is pretty amazing that I can actually remember this stuff. But Friday night, she came in, same chest pain. Different chest pain, but came in for chest pain again. And we're like, I mean, she has all the risk factors, so okay. So I go get her out of triage. And how you do an EKG, I don't know if it's common, is you actually have to lift up the breast and you put all the stickers underneath it.
I've done that a lot.
So, I mean, that's how you do it. So I go in, I get her undressed, and I start her EKG. I lift up her breast. And you know the triangles that the sandwiches are kept in? Mm-hmm. Was in her skin fold. Tuna fish sandwich. And I said, is this where it's been hurting? And I pull it out and the skin is raw and cut and chafed and
bleh. So she's complaining of literal chest pain.
So yeah, it hurt because she had a triangle, plastic triangle stuck there from Tuesday to Friday. And I was like, you're half of your sandwich, half of your tuna fish sandwich has been under your sweaty skin fold for
Did she put
days.
It there intentionally?
And she goes, I know I didn't eat all of that.
Oh my god.
All she had to say about it. I take it out. I put
That's
a little
amazing.
Cream on that. And I was like, I don't think you have a cardiac problem at
I
this
hope
point.
Insurance reimburses you for that and doesn't try to claim that it was like a pressure injury. That was not anybody at the hospital's fault.
No, she left her sandwich in her skin fold.
Oh my heavens. Okay.
So yeah, amazing. That was awesome. Tuna fish. I still haven't eaten tuna fish since.
Oh, I would never again.
Can't do it.
All right. Let's move out of the...
gross.
Yeah. Let me swallow my nausea. Okay. Your best advice for nursing students?
Go to business school.
Pick a different career right now.
No. It's a great career.
Unless anything we've said so far scares you.
Then, yeah. Don't go into it.
Then don't.
Like, when I hear necrotizing fasciitis, I'm like, okay, gross, but let me in that room.
Right.
No.
So cool.
Ty's like, once you've seen it, you don't need to see it
again.
Go
take a picture of it and bring it out.
Nursing students, I would say, like, put in the time. We had a nursing instructor that always said, study like someone's life depends on it, because it will. And, you know, make sure you know what you know and what you don't know, and check your ego at the door, because it literally, you know, you save lives, and that's what, you know, your mistakes kill people. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately that, you know, we see people who make little tiny, you know, miscalculations and they end up you know, someone who brought their kid in for a sore throat doesn't get to leave with them and stuff like that. So, just, you know, learn what you can. And even when you are a nurse, you know, find that one nurse. I have a great, mentor that once I got into the ER, she kind of took me under her wing and made sure that I knew what I knew. And
who is that one here? Name drop.
Sherry.
Oh, I love Sherry. Sherry, this one's for you, babe.
And so she's still to this day, you know, if I have a question, I'll ask her about stuff. And
that's awesome.
She's always just been a really good resource. And so it's just to latch onto those people that, you know,
she's working on her master's or doctorate
nursing
right now. She's a rock star. Yeah. But find those people who make you better.
Well, and from the perspective of a nursing student, it's so refreshing and relieving when you go to your clinicals and you meet a nurse and you're assigned to a nurse that doesn't make you feel like you're a burden.
Right.
And that you're annoying for having to follow them around all day. It's like you meet somebody who actually wants to teach you and they want you to get practice because they know you're the next wave. So.
And so when you're in nursing school, like I've had nursing students and I've precepted new nurses in the hospital pretty recently, and the only nursing student I've written off and like, I'm done with you, is I said, so what kind of nurse do you want to be? And she goes, oh, I really want to do like Botox and fillers and like
you're
the
going
beauty stuff.
All of
and
this.
I get it. Sweet. It's a great area of nursing eventually.
Yeah.
But like, don't tell me that's why you're, you know.
Don't even waste your time.
I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go do compressions on this guy. You know, put your lipstick on.
You go look
on.
In the mirror. Yeah. Yeah.
I hope
she's not listening. Okay, Annie?
Well, mine's not nearly as deep. I was just... nursing school is common sense. Like, take a deep breath.
Yeah.
I know that first semester, I know that they, like, weed out the lamos, and they it's purposely hard, but... And, it, like, I've been a nurse for a long time, so it's totally
all you
different.
Lamos out there, you can do it.
Keep it up.
But, like, just take a deep breath. And my nursing instructor, I had one in every lecture she did. She said, learn to prioritize and reprioritize, even in school. Like, hey, what's important this week and what's important this minute and what's important? And that's, I mean, that's all of nursing, especially, like I said, we've both been ER for so long. That just, you know, you think you need to go into patient one and then two and then three. Well, then all of a sudden they throw a wrench in your plan and they bring you a code in four. Well, obviously they
go to the code. Yeah. There's so many of my classmates right now that are not failing, but they're getting lower scores than me because they're overthinking the questions so hard. And I'm like, I studied for 10 hours less than you. And I got way higher because I have the knowledge that I need and I'm not adding extra information to the question and picking the wrong answer.
Go with your first answer.
Always. In nursing school, I was nicknamed Analytical Annie.
I remember you telling
because,
me
that. And that's a thing. Because I did study so much, I could argue every point to be right.
Well,
to
and
my
that's
point.
Brilliant too. Because then when you're in the...
And so everyone's like, Annie, go argue that one. I'm like, no, I got it right. Like, why would I argue? I'm like, but I got it wrong. Can you go make C right? And I'm like, well, I could, but I'm not going to because I got it right.
I gotta pick my battles.
Yeah.
I gotta be the top dog.
Right.
All right.
Hardest thing you have to do is pass an NCLEX.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And the NCLEX is the worst.
Really?
It's just dumb. It does not... Both, I took the LPN and the RN NCLEX just because I wanted to practice and stuff, and I wanted to stop being a waitress. And both times I came home and I applied for cosmetology school, and well, that's it. I don't have what it's, because it's just, you come out of there and you're like, I don't know if I got those right. I don't, you know, and be like, what?
Even after you'd just gone through the 2 years of school.
Right, yeah. So they're just so dumb. There was like, what comment by the patients states that they have an understanding of their discharge instructions on labetalol. And I'm like, I can tell you everything, the classification, the half-life, the dosing, the, you know, side effects, the risk factors of this drug. And then like the answers would be like, so I can't have it with orange juice at night?
That's literally how my tests are right now. They're reformatting nursing school to make it like preparing you exactly.
Oh, for sure. And I'm like, all of these comments by my patient makes me think that they don't know what the hell they're doing, and I can't discharge them yet. Anyway.
Nursing students?
Yeah, just...
Drop out. Just kidding.
Business school.
Just relax. Relax and think it
through. Enjoy your life, too. That's all I've realized over the last semester is if you make your entire life nursing school, you're going to fail because you're going to be miserable.
Right.
So, yeah, that's my two cents.
Say, look at you doing a podcast.
That's coming from someone who's real smart.
Who are you?
Right.
You.
Oh.
Yeah, so this needs to go away.
Just because I can spell necrotizing fasciitis.
Yes. And get your math.
Your math. Oh,
your maths?
Your math. Your math. Your med,
oh, yeah.
Your meds.
The amount of times I've had to call you to help me with a question because it's just, you overthink it.
Yeah.
It's simple. Don't you're like, it. What? All right. Next question.
Anyway, okay. So how would one know if they would be a good nurse, like nursing, such as?
Such as.
Go to CNA for school first.
Yeah.
Oh, I figure out if you can, like,
very true.
Change an adult diaper because, man.
Or a colostomy bag.
I think
nasty.
It should be a requirement.
Right?
Oh, it used to be.
It used to be.
Our first semester, because I was a CNA, I knew how to do blood pressure. I knew how to do all the vitals. I knew all the transferring. So the entire, like, first 10 weeks of the semester, I'm, like, sitting around, like, tapping my watch. Like, when are we going to get to some stuff that I don't know? Because I was already a CNA.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, you have to make, there's definitely a gut check. Like, when you're pulling out, sandwiches out of skin panises and that kind of
skin
I love the word panis.
I'm going to have to Google that one.
It's it's the fat
it's
fold.
It's the apron.
I just know that.
It's the fat apron.
So in Vegas, my husband was in dental school. And I was the nurse across the street at the county hospital. And they would send the dental students over. And so we'd get all sorts of crazy things. And these dental students would run. How can I help? And I'd be like, you hold up the panis. They're like, your wife made me hold the panis again.
Why dental students in a hospital?
Just because they wanted to, like, because from dental school, you can go to, like, oral surgery and you have to have your, you're a surgeon. So it's straight up, it's cool. But, you know, like, there were so many times where, because we'd had so many different programs, we'd get so many medical students and residents coming in on codes. And I'd be like,
get out of the way.
Sorry. Only if you can help, you can be in here. If you can't. And that's when I'd be like,
stand in the back,
dental students out, you know, if you can't sew in an art line for me right now, you're out because that's what I need. And
are they going to teach me that? I've never heard of an art line.
An art line? Yeah, they'll teach you.
Yikes.
If you go to ICU.
ICU.
Okay, so it's more of a specialized skill.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I learned about art lines. They're cool.
You know maybe about them, semester. But unless you're in, like, an ICU.
It's a monitoring device, really.
Oh, okay. All right.
You might have one in an ER, but ICU, they don't go up to telly floors or anything like that.
Okay.
With an art line.
You won't catch me dead on a telly floor. Is that the right phrase?
Telly was easy.
I just don't want to.
So I worked
it's
as
the
a...
best place to start as a nurse, honestly.
Yeah, they were the laziest ones.
Oh, for all the telly nurses that are listening, they just turned it off.
Yeah.
Whatever. No, I worked.
Telly's the best place to start, and every nursing student should do a year on the floor. That is my best advice.
Telly
do
or
a
med
year,
surge.
Either one.
Both. Yeah. I'm planning on it. I really like.
No, med surg. If you go to med surg, you'll never be anything but a med surg nurse. It's so hard to get off a med surg floor. Well, we're not all perfect.
So start in telly then.
But telly actually, you have heart monitoring, you have rhythms, you have to be ACLS certified. Med surg nurses are like, oh, I mean, we made
here's
fun
your
of them.
LASIKs.
We made fun of them because. A lot of them were like ortho med surg patients. And so like, all right, you move this person that had a knee surgery. Like they're not sick really.
Yeah.
Where like,
but just like wound care and cath care and
It's getting your
IV
start with IVs.
Some, like it's
hanging fluids.
For sure.
But you can't even do drips. Like that's the thing. That's what gets you good is knowing your IV drips. And
Yeah.
I guess I did chemo. So.
Yeah,
I had to do.
That's why I think I like the hemonc floor. Is it's technically like they classify it as a med surg clinical rotation, but it's more like here's your cancer patient.
Right. Well, and like you still have like I don't know 6-1. We had 6 patients.
Mayo's 2-1. It's amazing.
What?
I mean, there's so much money at that place.
Oh,
they
I
pay
bet.
Their nurses so well.
Yeah. So I had 6 patients. So I had to learn to like.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
go, go, go,
know
go.
What's going on and 6 assessments. Like you really got to know.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Yikes. So that's my advice. Every nurse needs to do a year.
I agree.
In the time.
Okay.
And then you get the whole picture.
Right. And that definitely helped with like being a good nurse as well. Because I worked as a CNA at the same hospitals these two worked at.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know kind of what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Like the old people and the different floors. And
yeah.
Yeah.
You want to be involved in a code without actually having to run it.
you know, right off the bat.
That's next semester. I'm literally the day that comes around, I'm going to come home and tell KJ it happened. I got to see a coat.
Right. My best advice for new nurses, which a nurse told me a long time ago, is when I was a brand new ER nurse, I was scared to death of coats. I didn't know what to do. Like, I had taken ACLS and I'm all, I don't even know what those drugs are and how to open the box, you know. But go to every code you possibly can and record, be the recorder, because the recorder is super important, and you just write down everything you hear, and then you just kind of get familiar more and more. That's my, so go and just be there, and all of a sudden you just kind of get a little bit more and more familiar.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah. Recorder. And be the recorder.
Are they typing or writing?
Just writing. And it's like,
I can write.
It's like shorthand. It's like shorthand.
And that's the thing. Like, there's times where I would put nursing students in charge, and like, when we're like, you know, you have to write the time, which is more important. And then I'd be like, you know, EpiN, and they would write like APY. They had no idea what we were really saying.
How do you spell amiodarone?
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't care. I'll figure it out. But you like, just tell me like, hey, we just, you know, like,
wait, what's amiodarone? You
say? Your last math question was amiodarone.
They don't ask you anything detailed about it though.
No, it's a heart rhythm drug.
It's a heart rhythm.
Okay. All right. Next.
Do I have to put the time of death on here?
No, we don't care.
Details. Cool. And so it kind of goes in the next one, is like a typical day for a nurse, just like a normal run of the mill day. Cause not every day is like super crazy, gross.
I've yet to have a run of the mill day. I mean,
that's probably true too.
What?
Not every day is normal.
I chose ER for that reason.
Cause it's so varied.
Like I said, I did a year in medical oncology.
Yeah.
And it's like, you meet your patients, you get your 9 o'clock meds out, you know,
yeah.
And it's all very,
it's structured,
a little bit of different stuff in there, like wound care and that kind of randomness.
Well, and for somebody who doesn't know, like who's never been in a situation like that, I mean, you've got patients that are, you've got days where call lights are going off nonstop.
Right.
But in the hospital you worked at, you guys had CNAs, right?
Yeah. Not in the ER, we have a tech. Yeah. Like that's
one.
All we.
Yeah. At Mayo, they have their 2-to-1 patient ratio, so it's fine, but they don't have any tech. CNAs or PCAs, so the nurses do all the transfers, all the butt wiping, all the bathroom.
Chandler was a lot like that when I was there.
Yeah.
Your full patient, or primary patient care.
Yeah. So, anyways, run it. Sorry. Go back to your day.
You'll have days where you literally, you know, you wait. You're just kind of help nurses that are there when you walk in, and you don't have a patient load, you know, in an ER setting. And then you'll have days where you walk in with the 3 ambulances and the charge nurse looks at you and says, these are yours.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, how do they assign who goes to what patient in
who
the
has
ER?
An empty room?
Oh, so usually. You get assigned rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Usually have responsible rooms
like
you're responsible
floor.
For.
Okay.
And as you discharge, that puts you up for, I had a nurse that always told me, he's like, dude, just always keep your rooms full.
Yeah.
He's like, go. He's like, as soon as you discharge someone, he said, go. No, don't drag your feet. Get them out of there and then go to the, be like, oh, I want this one, and pull them in and put them in your room.
Cherry pick.
Yeah, cherry pick them. So then you have 3 or 4 non-criticals. And
so you would choose a non-critical over a critical?
I mean, depends on the day.
But like the other day I was working and they said, we have 3 coming, and I had 2 other rooms. And they said, we have a stroke 1, which means like they were seen acting normal within the hour. So, and now they're having stroke symptoms. Bed bugs and lice.
Oh, nope. Cross that one out.
And a respiratory depression. Which 2 do you want? I'm all stroke and respiratory for sure. And
like, get the Narcan.
And they're like, well, this one can wait. These other two. I was like, I got it.
You
just go and like, fill my room with those two.
I will not touch the bed bugs with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
Any body fluid, anything sticky, gross, whatever, it can come out of the grossest. I would take the necrotizing fasciitis over bed bugs.
Oh, 100%. It's so contagious. You don't want to bring it home to your kids.
Not doing it.
I've literally come home from, like, I'm going to go take a lunch break. And when we lived really close to the hospital, I came home and shaved my head and beard because I had a patient with lice in the head. And it was so gross.
Didn't you burn your scrubs one time too? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's reasonable. I'm not even like.
I'm a little dramatic like that, but I hate them.
No, I don't.
But considering how rigid and strict the protocols are now to prevent the spread of infection and prevent the spread of any sort of contamination, think about how much is on your scrubs.
Well, and bacteria, sure, but like bed bugs crawl. Right. Yeah. Like, I could put so four layers lice. On, and that doesn't mean that they're going to stay on the outside. So that was my whole big thing.
And this poor person had lice and bed bugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gross. So gross.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, I don't do bugs.
No.
Ugh. It's making me itch
like
now.
Crazy.
My head is just...
Okay, go on.
So next one is, is our hospital working like an ER, a hospital, anything like the TV shows?
Yes, totally like Grey's Anatomy. Oh, 100%.
Of course.
I mean, I have all the time in the world to just like go get a quickie in the on-call room.
Right.
Right.
I don't even know where they're on-call
room. I've never seen an on-call
I've
room.
I've actually never seen one. Our hospital in Northern Nevada had an on-call room because the doctor would go sleep at night because mm-hmm. we had that little patience. But
let's be honest though, does a doctor ever even look sideways at an intern or a resident?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It sideways, happens. Vertically, up and down.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
And, like, you would hear yeah. about them, and it'd be like, oh, so gross. I don't even want to think about those two hooking it up. And they were always the gross ones that are.
Nice.
No, TV shows, medical TV shows are, like, borderline unwatchable for me.
Yeah.
Like,
we ruin it for everybody that I've ever watched.
I've started getting there. It's bad.
Well, like, when they, like, throw, like, oh, Chicago Med.
Like, oh, I need to watch that.
They run a code for about 3.5 seconds, and they're like, she's gone. She's gone.
And
like,
in real life, no. How long do you keep trying until you call?
Well, I mean, it depends on so many things, mm-hmm. but like, there'll be like this young mother, and they're like, the like,
yeah.
shocker ones, yeah. no meds, nothing. And yeah. they're like, let her go. She's gone. I'm like, I can't.
My favorite is every TV show. They're always just like, I need 500 cc's of saline. Run it wide open. Like, yeah. that's what the first thing they call out.
Stat!
And I'm like...
Stat!
Let's like, get some water up yeah. in here.
Right. And I'm like, 500 cc's is doing nothing to anybody ever.
So, sorry. A show... one of the shows I lost...
No hit on Chicago Med. We yeah. really actually
one of
like
my, it. One of my movies was Lone Survivor. Mm-hmm. Back yes. in the Mark Wahlberg movie. And, like, the opening scene... I couldn't watch the rest of the movie. The opening scene, he has a non-rebreather... That's not inflated. It's just like, I'm like, you're suffocating him. Like, losing my mind.
Wait, you mean like he didn't take the stickers off?
No. Like, so the bag.
The bag.
They didn't inflate the bags.
So it's not hooked to any oxygen. Yeah. For anything.
Like, for those who don't know what a non-rebreather is, it's like the little oxygen mask that they put on a face and then it has the bag attached to it.
And there was another show where they had like a yonker, like a suction tube mm-hmm. taped to his mouth and he was supposed to be intubated. And I'm like, what is
happening? You're suctioning everything. Just
well, and when people like they intubate in shows and they like, put it through and then they pull the stylet back, like that never happens because you're going to totally extubate the patient like that. Like, you hold it secure. I am no fun to watch medical shows.
Doctors like change bedpans all the time though.
Really?
No.
Oh, I was like, wait, that's a lie. Yeah. Okay, so
I don't change a bedpan if I can get out of it, much less a doctor.
Oh, I was so gonna say before. We've been watching Nurse Jackie on Netflix and there's a scene where one of the main characters, one of her friends, is going into labor. She's like 4 centimeters dilated, and Jackie's trapped downstairs in the ER. Maybe 5 minutes goes by. She comes upstairs, and the lady's holding her baby. And yeah. I'm like, it would have been, this is her first child too, yeah. so like first time mom's labor for forever. I'm like, it would have been 24 hours before that baby was
For sure.
Nurse out. Jackie, though, I couldn't watch much more than like two or three episodes.
I'm so done with it, but it's so funny.
It was more realistic in a lot of things, mm-hmm. but it was the worst things of nursing. It represented nursing in such a bad light. It like
doesn't she have a drug? She's a drug.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she steals
the sleep, it was sleeping with the pharmacist to get her narco. Yeah.
And it came about right at the origination of like the Pyxis because he was the pharmacist. Like when you needed a med for a patient, you went and told him what you needed and he gave it to you. And then they'd fire him and replace him with a Pyxis. And I'm like, this is everywhere now, like Pyxis are the standard of care.
Yeah,
so it's funny that it's I don't know the opioid crisis.
You only talk to pharmacists when you need a med mixed.
Oh really?
Okay. Pretty much, or if you have a question.
See, and I've been a nurse so long that I actually used to have to do that. Like
you did.
I remember the first time I had to go and sign out cannabis for. And you had to sign it out and you had to like 3 signatures and then
3 different nurses.
The pharmacist had to walk you down. You had to sign it with the farm D and the farm tech. And then they walked you down to the back to the floor and you had to, they passed you off to like your another nurse. So then you and another nurse and two nurses check. And
then you got lit.
Right.
You snuck off to the on-call room.
With a doctor. And I went and found the on-call room, baby. No, the first time I was so naive, I'm like, I don't know what this is. I just went and got it. And they're like,
what is it? Was it liquid form?
No, it was a pill.
Oh, okay. All
right. It looked like a multivitamin. I don't even know.
Yikes.
That's amazing. But I could watch Scrubs no matter what.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah. I have heard Scrubs, even though it's not realistic, it's pretty close.
I'm going to give a shout out to your cousin Gracie right now. Debbie's? Slagathor. I'll be in my office if you need me. That's for you, Gracie.
That's the best medical show, in my opinion.
I think I'm
going to
for pure for entertainment.
Sure. It's a good show. Medically wise, it's worse than probably
any. How do we feel about The Good Doctor?
I haven't actually seen it. I watched the very first 5 minutes. I fell asleep when he was like riding his bike or something, right?
It's his, like, when they actually House is the best of all of them. In terms of, I actually, when I was studying for the NCLEX, I wanted to be so, like, medically thinking. I just wanted to be in the zone, and the only thing I wanted to do was, like, eat, sleep, and dream nursing. So I'd watch House, and there was two questions I knew the answer from.
Oh, just because from watching House?
Watching House.
That's
awesome. There's stupid things that he does in terms of, like, his diagnosing, but at least, like, his things make sense. Yeah. Everyone gets a lumbar puncture on that.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. Everyone that comes into that hospital gets a lumbar puncture.
All right. Well,
the next one.
I forgot what the question even was.
I heard The Resident was really good. I haven't watched
that.
The Resident's pretty good.
I heard it's pretty.
The main guy's cute.
People tell me that I would like it, but
except for the nurse, like, one day is a nurse and then the next day is a nurse practitioner.
Yeah, I did notice.
It was like episode 2 to 3. Yeah,
that nurse could work for me.
And she's still passing meds.
Right. So after, like, nursing school, what kind of training do nurses go through? Like, when you get your first job?
Oh yeah, like, this was a question I had at the beginning of nursing school too. Like, how does it go from passing the NCLEX to all of a sudden being a nurse? Like, I thought you just got thrown out onto the floor.
Oh, no. Well, kind of.
It all depends on the hospital you go to.
You figure out really quick that you really don't know anything out of nursing school. Like, I was like,
You learn it all from working.
Oh, for sure.
But you get paired up with somebody, right? And they train you for a while.
So most of the hospitals around here, they have pretty good, like, new grad programs.
Yeah.
I know when I went to the ER... I'll give a shout out to Banner. Can I do that?
Of course.
No free ads.
Banner was good to me. They were always good to me.
Take a shot.
I went and they, like, did a 6-week course on getting to the ER and kind of went through, like, every day we went through different systems and stuff. And it was cool because I was like,
Usually it's like 12
weeks.
I've
only put a Foley in on a plastic.
Yeah. Where the urethra is so obvious.
Yeah. Where there's three holes and they're
perfectly lined up.
Yes.
You'll never miss the urethra ever.
And there's no schmegma.
What? Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's a good word. It's not what you think it
Look
is.
Look it up.
S-M-E-G-M-A.
Schmegma.
I use that all the time. It's my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, sorry.
No, you're...
On that note...
Maybe that should be the episode title.
Yeah, usually they're like 12 weeks, and they're, depending on the hospital, like Annie said, Banner was really good. I know because I was a preceptor for Dignity, they, like, you go to, like, crazy amounts of education, like 3 weeks on top of your 12 weeks of just, like, cardiac rhythms and learning all the stuff that you need to know, especially if you're going, like, and then if you specialize, you're going to a neuro floor, then you're going to do that as well, but...
Which is so good, because they used to just say, go.
Here you go.
Have fun.
And sometimes they threw you to a nurse who ate their young, which is a very common term. Nurses like to eat. There's a lot of those nurses. And I, like you said before, it's always so good to have that nurse that you don't feel like you're a burden to. Be that nurse. Go be that.
For sure.
When you get there, be that one, because it is. It's hard to find. And
I don't know how they don't remember when they were a student.
Right. I mean, they're eager and... You know, for
and
the
terrified.
Most part, and terrified, and I don't, I had some nurses that wanted to grill me and just to prove that they were smarter than me. And I'm like, well, of course you are. Uh-huh. You should be. You're getting paid to do this. I'm not, you know. So just like teach and love and be kind. And
places are getting so patient driven, like patient satisfaction driven. Now the directors and people in charge of it are starting to see, like, these are my good nurses that I know are going to train and train you well. Yeah. And these are the ones we're not letting anyone near.
Yeah.
They're good nurses. They take care of their patients.
They're good to their patients, but nobody's
here.
We're
not,
Yeah.
That's okay. Funny. So how, like, quick do you think nurses get jaded to things where they're just like, I don't know. The nurses were always funny. They'd always joke around, like, the nurse station about, like, if you are from the outside, kind of twisted stuff, but hilarious.
I think it depends on you. Oh, you have to be twisted to be a nurse. Like, in terms of jaded, though, I mean, I think the more critical care, you're going to see stuff and you're going to, that makes you a little bit harder on the outside. But, I mean, if you can kind of step back every once in a while and be like, no, this is why I want to do it and kind of, but it's the ones that just, they bring their personal life into work and let it, you know, just be a cancer to everyone. Those are the ones that usually are the ones that get jaded real quick and real fast. But it's just having your, know why you're doing it, I guess. It's
well,
really
and I've
easy.
I've always said every patient gets three strikes with me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll be cool. I will be so cool to you until, and you get your first strike sometimes is a doozy and the mom voice comes out right away and it's like, here, we got two ways of doing this. It's either my way or it's going to be with security, and security never is fun. So,
yeah.
And usually that works, but, you know, like, you be nice, be respectful, and, you know, let's do this together. And after that, then, I don't know. I feel when I first started at UMC in Las Vegas, one of the nurses said, oh, you're so sweet. You're going to get eaten up. And I'm like, just watch. Just wait.
You just wait.
I got this.
I'm sweet until you mess with me.
Fun.
Right. And there was a few times where they were like, she's got this. And there was one time even here that a nurse actually came after me a little bit. And one of the other nurses went and told Ty, like, hey, your sister got into it with another nurse who no longer works there because he's a and Ty said something like, well, did you help out? He's like, she had it. She's good.
she had
her own.
Hold her own.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, so a lot of people just wanted to hear stories. So do either of you have any more devastatingly sad stories or gross or scary, anything like that you can think of off the top of your head?
The most, like, decent, this is, anyway, this shows how decent people are. It's not necessarily the nursing staff. So I was, like, 8.5 months pregnant with my oldest, and I was working in Vegas. And they brought me in a guy, and he was smaller, and he was just disheveled looking, and they kind of, and he was just, like, dropped, which we had a lot of, like, stabbed and left, you know? Like, they just, and, or, like, having a baby and people just like threw him out of the car, you know, kind of situation. So we had a run of like people just getting left. So this guy was just kind of left there. And so we got him on a gurney and I couldn't lift at the, I mean, I lifted at the time and he kind of came around and when he did, he like went to like hit me.
Oh,
and all of our securities were these giant bodybuilders that work security on the, you know, as their day job. And they like pinned his arm down and you just heard it snap and they were like, she's pregnant, you don't touch her. But this guy's like totally out of it. I'm like, he's high on something. I mean, he anyway, so I'm waddling behind the gurney and this poor guy now has a snapped arm and I'm huge and we get back there and I'm like, what's the story? Nobody knows. We don't know what he's into. And so I go to start cutting off his clothes to see like what we're finding here. And I'm like, these are nice clothes. He's like the pimp or something. Like he's got a good looking suit on and it was expensive stuff. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. Something's going on. And they said, there's a guy out with him. So I waddled back up to the front because I can't help a ton because I'm huge and I'm trying to get the story and all the stuff. And this homeless man is standing there and you can tell he's super nervous and he hands me Lamborghini keys.
Dang.
What?
And I'm all, and a $100 bill, cash, that's all wadded up. And I'm like, did you bring him in? And he's like, I know nothing about him. He kind of put his hands up, and I'm like, you don't know who he is? And he's like, no, he just stopped me at the gas station across the street and said, and he didn't look good, and he said, can you go buy me some orange juice? So as fast as my little fat little pregnant self, I ran in the back. I'm all, check his sugar. He was a diabetic.
Oh,
he pulled into the gas station. He asked a homeless guy, gave him a $100 bill, said, buy me some orange juice because he's tanking.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time he came back out, or he didn't even get into the store, the guy like passed out. So he just brought him straight to the hospital. My gosh. Hands me back his Lamborghini. Money and his Lamborghini keys. And I'm all, dude, you're decent. Like, that's...
What a homie. Because
you could have walked away with $100 if nothing else. Right. And not even...
$200,000 car.
Right.
I have to know what his sugars were. Do you remember?
Oh, they're nothing. Oh. I think 20 if that. But I was just like... And he, like, by the time I got back there, he had no veins. And he had track marks. So we're kind of like, he's an addict. And then, but no, he was just an extremely brittle diabetic who had been in and out. And so... I think he was 20. I have seen somebody conscious at like 28, and I'm like, how is this guy talking?
Yeah.
How is he still with us?
For our people out here not medically minded, 70 to 120 is a normal range for blood glucose.
Yeah.
So if you're that low, you're feeling low. A little dizzy, a little lightheaded.
You're having a bad day.
Right. You're on the verge.
But like, how cool is this? Like, this is Vegas. That's this really is, cool. You know, downtown Vegas.
Right. But if you think about it, what could a homeless man do with a Lamborghini?
But still $100.
Oh, for sure. He should have. Did you give it back to him?
No.
I would have been like, keep it there.
No. But like that things. Was like.
Yeah.
Make sure it gets this.
It's for the tip.
Right. I remember I could be like, I could go have this baby. I'm okay with bringing my baby into this world now. Yeah. Like,
restored your faith.
This is good.
Decent
good.
People.
I'm gonna ruin the good vibes with this next
That's
story.
Okay, I'm excited.
Well, and he had a snapped arm, so he's probably gonna sue the hospital because he's rich.
We had a guy come in. He was found unresponsive. We got a phone call that he had had a seizure in his car. So EMS brought him in, unresponsive. He had like $400 cash on him, and just how can I say this on your thing? Just a nice chub.
Oh, okay.
And
you can say boner.
We had a boner. So we work him up. We get IVs. We get him kind of stabilized. He's not waking up. And so I'm looking to our doctor. It was when I was doing the 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. shift. So it's kind of slow. And I'm like, this guy's got a neurological something. Like, he's got priapism because... We're 3 hours in, and he's still rocking it.
Oh, my heavens.
And
painful priapism.
Yeah,
that
so,
should be the name of your show.
Painful priapism.
So for those of you who don't know what priapism is, basically if you have a neurological disorder or you – don't Google it. Or you have a spinal cord injury, you get erections. And so it's kind of, you know, a sign
last, like,
that
they last like 4 hours or longer.
Well, isn't it a six-hour recommended to go see somebody?
No, that's Viagra. That's just Viagra. This has nothing to do with pills. So I'm like, doc, this guy's got something wrong with his brain. So we scan him, comes back negative. Neurology comes in. It's like, I don't know why he has this. Urology comes in. It's like, well, let's drain it.
Oh,
so
no.
They take two 16-gauge, which are the biggest needles you can. Yeah.
There's I found a picture of it.
16 gauges down the side and just let this thing drain.
Oh.
It's down not, the side.
But it's not going down. It's not going down. He's like, let's shoot it with epinephrine, see if we can't get those, you know, to contract and see if we can get some blood flow to not be there. Nothing. So we have this guy, you got an ICU bed, so we take him over to ICU, and this nurse is like, what's going on here? And I'm like, so I give a report, and she's like, huh. And she like reaches underneath the sheet, and like right where her scrotum's at, she kind of puts her hand there, and then just like does something with her fingers, and it just deflates.
No.
And I'm like, what did you do?
Did he have an implant?
And she's all, he has a penis plump. They were, yes. And she's an older nurse, and she's like, they were real big in the 70s. And I'm like,
oh my gosh. Whoa.
And it was me and this young doctor who had never seen one or knew.
That's great.
Like, I knew the phrase penis pump.
Yeah.
But I had never
Okay, but exposed. At first, were you like, man, this woman's magic with her fingers?
So wow. But the guy finally and woke up. And he, well, yeah, yeah, we're right. this guy woke up, and apparently he was going to get a prostitute, so he saddled up, had his cash, and before he, the prostitutes who called, that's why there was no one else with him. So the prostitute called and left, and...
So yeah. Why was that's he so was he unconscious just because of...
He just has seizure disorder. Oh, and, that's right. He so he had a seizure and just woke up later.
Nice. I wonder how... Did you guys tell him?
Oh, I didn't tell him nothing.
Boy. Okay.
I'm just like, he's going to wake up angry.
When I was a brand new nurse, this is my other penis story.
Oh, I'm excited.
Brand new nurse. And I will admit that I was like a 21-year-old virgin. Mm-hmm. And I had never seen much. And... We had this guy, and he got brought to the floor, and they had to drain his penis, and the urologist came, and this is when we had paper charting, so they put in the order, and I was reading the order before he got out, and it said, teach proper massage techniques.
Oh, to get it to go down?
And I was like, ran after the urologist. I'm all, explain this order.
Yeah.
Because in high school, that wasn't what it was called. Right. All I can say. We didn't call it that. And this guy doesn't have insurance. I'm not.
Later tonight, I'm out. Laying in bed next to KJ. Would you like massage techniques tonight?
Yes. Proper massage techniques. And he goes, well, if this guy doesn't keep his hands off it, he's going to turn it into a nubbin. I'm all, that's his problem. I am not going in there and helping him out with his proper massage techniques. And everyone was dying because I'm like the... young.
Wait, I'm still a little confused. The massage techniques were to help.
Well, because he kept playing with it. He kept getting it bonered, chubby.
Oh my goodness.
So then he kept doing it over and over. So I guess they had drained it earlier, drained it again. And this is the third time they're draining it. So they were like, we need to go in and teach him to either do it right or get his hands off it. And I'm like, no. Sorry. Gosh,
that's not your job.
I didn't learn that nursing
school. Get a sex therapist in here. Oh my gosh. Okay. We have two more questions, I think. We're going to skip a few. All
right.
So, somebody wanted to know the different types of things you can do with a nursing degree, which you guys are like the prime example because Ty over here is running a clinic, right? And you guys have launched HydroFix.
Yep.
So, would you guys like to discuss kind of your different options other than just being like a floor nurse?
Well, honestly, like a lot of the stuff that we've been doing in like the last year, 2 years is
something that
we were
fell off
trying to think. That's like, what she said. Like we, so there are things that we kind of knew we could do, but there's a lot of things that are coming out with nursing that you can actually do other than a hospital setting really we've kind of. I've stepped away from the critical bedside and am doing testosterone replacement therapy for men. And then we also do lipo injections. And then we do it's a cool thing called IPL, which is intense photo laser.
Oh, wow.
And so it's basically like skin therapy on top of it.
For like stretch marks and stuff?
Yeah. So any kind of like discoloration pigment. So people who have like more red, you know, red skin damage and stuff on their face, it actually helps to get that off. So
sweet.
Yeah. And then like the IV stuff.
Do you guys want to plug it? Like,
so, yourself? I work, so it's Ageless Men's Health. And it's basically a clinic that's in, we got four of them in Arizona.
But the Tempe one's definitely.
But the Tempe one is pretty amazing. You're going to get taken care of.
You forgot to ask Ty your very specific question directed just at Ty.
Oh, no.
Let's hear it.
I'm so mad. Just do it. Okay, so
this is a very serious we have to question. Know,
what is Ty short for?
Ty is short for just Ty. Just Ty.
I meant to ask you that. And
nothing bugs
right
Ty
at the beginning.
More.
And only Ty.
So your name's not Tyson.
It's
Tyrone.
Not. It's not.
Tyler.
No, Tyler.
Don't call me Tyler.
Tyresha.
I would honestly rather be Tyresha than Tyler.
Than Tyler.
Yeah.
Dang it.
All the Tylers so in the world just stopped listening to this podcast.
Right.
Okay. So Ty's got Ageless, and then you both kind of have HydroFix. So do you want to talk about HydroFix, Annie?
So HydroFix is HydroFix.
You're thinking of Netflix.
Nah, it's past my bedtime. Is an IV.
That's our next one.
Replacement therapy.
Hydroflix.
Where you turn on Netflix while they're getting
their IV. While you hydrate them.
Yeah.
TM, right there for the Phil Dunphy fans. Yeah, TM. Okay. I just trademarked that.
So it's replacement?
So yeah, it's elective IV therapy, and we come in and give you all sorts of good electrolytes and vitamins and through like cold and flu season and
before marathons, right?
Yeah. So I did it after my half marathon and worked like a charm. A lot of people just do it during training or if you had too much to drink, we can obviously sober you up with
banana
no hangover. Back. Yeah. So we just have really good quality vitamins and minerals and all sorts of good stuff.
Well, and the migraine therapy stuff, like that's the one I tried to market, like because I have really bad headaches and stuff. And
same.
So like $150 gets you a bag of saline, Toradol, some Benadryl and Zofran, like if you need it.
Which is exactly what
Zofran would save my life during
migraine.
Well,
that's what we give in the ER all the time.
It's exact same stuff.
So it's like,
but to be able to get it off,
you don't have to go wait in the ER for 6 hours. I have quite a few patients who are like, migraines put me down and I have to go wait in the ER when they're that bad or urgent care. Sometimes they give you IV, sometimes they don't. And you know, and that's what we give in the ER is the Toradol, Benadryl.
And I tell them like, I tell them straight up, like, not to be rude, but like when you come to the ER, it's not an emergency. I know it sucks. It sucks, but it's not an emergency.
Yeah.
And you're going to wait a long time.
Right. Your heart's beating fine.
Like there's patients that I've had where like we've gotten to know each other so well, or their family members, where I'm like, hey, we'll take care of the financial stuff first. We'll put an IV in you. You're going to feel me checking your vitals and I'll let myself out. Good night.
Right.
Because that's all you want to do is go to sleep. Exactly. And so.
Well, we have people, you go to their office, they're like, it's coming. And I'm like, hey, let's get it before it comes. So it's been super cool. It's super rewarding. I get to meet awesome people and.
Yeah. And do you guys have a website or an Instagram or anything that where people can find you?
Hydrofix.
IV.com.
And we have an Instagram, Hydrofix IV.
At Hydrofix IV.
You just go all over the valley, right? The East Valley?
Yeah.
I saw Adam Sandler on your Instagram. Did he actually?
No.
I literally just opened my phone to look at the last question and the penis aspiration is still there.
Yes.
Yikes.
So yeah, if you ever need an IV, call us.
I know, I'm doing one of those rugged obstacle courses, mudder things, so I might need one.
I'll hook you up.
Okay.
Before. April. And that's the thing. Like, I've always gotten toe cramps in really long runs. And I've always, you know, what do you do about it? Like, nothing. Mm-hmm. And I started doing IV therapy before. And I didn't get a toe cramp.
Nice.
All right. I need to hit you up.
Right. All right.
Last question. We saved the best for last. Do you actually get a lunch break?
No.
What's that?
I mean, and even if you do, what time do you go?
2 weeks of my career where they're like, you have to take a lunch break. Mm-hmm. We are charging, we are watching, and they would bring another nurse in to break you. And I remember I was like, I would go in the break room for 30 minutes being like, oh, I have this patient that's waiting for this.
Still thinking about it.
I still want to check my results on those labs. And
you don't even get to taste your food
because you're just thinking. You're still working. You're still, and it's like, there's never a good time to actually like pass on your patients.
Yeah. You just snack at the computer, right?
Oh, for
the most part.
Yeah.
I will tell you, being a clinical director, that's my favorite thing. Is I'm like going to lunch,
real food,
bye,
and it's gonna be hot when I eat it,
and I'll be back when it's done.
That's like awesome.
It's not just scarf and run. It's.
I think in 18 years, not that I'm full time by any means, I'm not a full time nurse anymore, but I probably have had maybe 10 lunch breaks in my career.
And what was your nurse to patient ratio? Our patient-nurse ratio?
For ER, it's usually 4-1 or 3-1, depending on the place that I worked. Mm-hmm. And, I would choose to do, the critical areas.
Well, and it might be different on more of a med-surg floor or somewhere else, too. You might actually have a higher chance of getting a lunch.
Well, ER's and, you can plan a little better because you know that, these are my 4 patients and this is and they're
mostly
all bed-bound. Eating their lunch now I can step away and go
but you hate doing it because nothing's like there might be a nurse watching your patients but they're not doing anything
and you're giving them like a 5-minute brief report if that
well and that's the thing like you come back and it's your work
you come back
there.
And it's still waiting
it's like
for
you still have to check your labs and
but I'm looking forward to this
so fun.
I know, I'm excited.
It's so rewarding I do love my job I love being a nurse I keep every now and again
it keeps
I say
you decent.
I'm gonna be a IV nurse for the rest of my life because it's easier. And then mm-hmm. I'm still like, oh, I just need a little adrenaline fix.
For all those people who are listening who are like, hey, you yelled at that nursing student for being a Botox nurse and you're a testosterone nurse.
You have to earn your stripes.
But you earn your stripes. Yeah.
You got to earn it.
Yeah, you did your time in the ER of all places.
Do your time.
And I'm looking for Botox. I'm going to be a Botox nurse for sure because...
Will you do Botox on me?
For sure.
Okay, cool.
I just got to fix all of this. So anyone who wants to teach me, I'm in. I've actually done a lot of training with a friend and I like it. So it's fun.
It can't be that complicated, right? You just have to know where the muscles are.
Right.
And the nerves.
Injection sites.
Yeah. Let's do it. Cool.
This has been great.
Oh, this is awesome.
This is going to be a good episode.
I loved it.
Do you guys have anything else? Ty, do you want to market your Keto RN Instagram?
If you want to.
Ty's the keto king.
Yeah.
The ketogenic diet is his jam.
It really is. It's it works. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've told you, but I've been for the last like year, I've been doing the keto thing, but I've also been doing blood work through our lab that we have
at
Ageless Men's Health. And
no free plugs.
Right. So I went from like a
cholesterol.
I went from a cholesterol level of like 350, like just hey, fix it or you're gonna die. And I made the decision I'm gonna do keto. I'm gonna change some things in my life. And 6 months into it, I was down like 80 pounds, and my cholesterol was down to like 199.
Holy
with
crap.
My triglycerides were still high though. Mm-hmm. So I just checked them like last month, and I was like 175. Total cholesterol, and then my triglycerides were like 84. Like,
nice.
And then my A1C, you know, for anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's your diabetic like level, mm-hmm. Dropped from like a 5.8, which mm-hmm. is like pre-diabetic, to mm-hmm. 5.0, which is like
fine.
You're not even close. So
sweet,
it works. Stick with it.
So his Instagram is at KetoRN, and you can go follow his little Instagram there.
Yeah. It's not much.
KJ, do you have anything else to say?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I think we'll skip signing off with quotes for tonight because this is going to be a long episode.
I'm tired.
And I'm tired. It's been a long day. But
and KJ's mom's going to make me run in the morning still.
Yeah.
It's late.
But we appreciate you guys telling
guys
all your stories and giving some sage.
Stay classy, Arizona.
There you go.
Is that Anchorman?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
All I remember from Anchorman is... I love lamp.
Right. Going to kick you right in the baby maker.
Right in the baby maker.
Or I can't say that one. Yeah. The one at the dinner table from, I think it's Anchorman 2, when he goes to dinner with.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I know which one.
All right.
Probably
well,
not.
It's bedtime.
You're E for
so
everyone.
There's our quotes for the night.
E for everyone except for the penis coochie and. What else
coochie cash.
Coochie cash.
Coochie cash.
Coochie cash.
Yeah. I like that one.
All right, everybody. Peace out.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.